All right. Good evening, everybody. I'm excited to do another module with you. This is my fourth one. I'm Tracy with Pink Pigeon Media, and my business is to manage social media pages for small to mid-sized businesses. And so I know about Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and all the social pages that you use for business. And tonight we're going to talk about getting a website. This is a very basic 101, where to start, where to look, what you're looking for, what you must have, that sort of thing we're going to cover tonight in this module. But at any point in time, if you wish to ask a question, please do so, or jot your question down for the next break that we take. And also, I want to point out that at the very end of the PDF document that you received is the list of questions that were sent to me beforehand, and you'll find the question is there along with a very short answer. So there's a possibility that if I don't cover something that's on your mind, it may have been covered in the question and answer section at the end. And my hope is that we'll actually get to go through those if we have enough time so that we can talk them through to be sure that I've answered them sufficiently for those of you who have that question. So if you'll start with page 2 of your PDF, I have put this little gear image in this PDF, and if you've done a module with me before, you've seen this image. And I'm placing it here because this image to me illustrates why your website and why social pages are important to you and for your business. Because the more clicks, activity, comments, views, and shares that you have on your social sites or on your website, it affects your website's page rank. And this is why I encourage my clients and I encourage in these modules that when you use social media, you want to include links back to your website frequently, and one way to do that is by blogging. And that's what keeps your website fresh and alive to search engine spiders and interesting enough for Google and other search engines to start ranking you where people can find you when they do a search for you. So this picture just kind of illustrates how it all works together in a very simplified view. So that's why I put that there, just to remind you of the big picture. On page number 3, this is the thing I want you to get probably more than anything while we're talking about websites, because they can be so intimidating. You do not need to know everything there is to know about building a website in order to create a successful one. Yes, there's a lot to know, but you don't have to know everything. I don't know everything, and I build websites. And I have talked to many people who build websites where they'll say, oh, Tracy, I didn't know that. That's something new that I'll share with them, and they'll do the same with me. Like any topic, we're always learning, and things are always changing, and platforms are always being added to. So the information that I have today on how WordPress works, it's going to be updated and improved upon. Somebody's working on it right now while we're speaking. So tomorrow there'll be an update on something. So you don't have to know everything, and don't let that stop you from starting. Don't let it stop you from moving forward. One person submitted a question that said she started a website, but she kind of dropped it because she hadn't yet figured out her niche. And I get that, but the important thing is for you to go ahead and keep moving forward. Keep taking steps forward. We were talking right before the call started that your website's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be exactly what you want. You'll always be able to improve. There will always be things changing. So it's important for you to know you don't have to know everything to get your website built and for it to be a successful one that brings in clients and is a good place for people to land. So we'll do our best to put the intimidation of the topic aside and go through this module without the fear, without the trepidation. Hopefully. Part 1 of this module. It's the question here, do it yourself or buy it? DIY or buy? You have options for building your website. You can do it yourself. You can hire a high school kid. You could hire a professional geek. Or you can use a turnkey website builder. in your exploration about which way you want to go, and I hope this module will help you make that decision, but a huge consideration is the shopping cart aspect of your website, if you need one or if you do not need one. If you have downloadable materials like an ebook or worksheets that you charge money for, then in some way you're going to need to receive those monies, and a shopping cart is the way that you do that. There are ways to still receive monies and not have a shopping cart. If you have your book on Amazon, for instance, you can let them deal with that. You just include a link to Amazon. But if you are going to have products that need to be paid for, or if you want to receive payments for coaching sessions by way of your website, that will require a shopping cart. And it is another layer of website building that's a bit more technical and a bit more involved that might drive your decision in which way you want to go. And I'll say this last thing before we move on about that to the next page is that you can still build your website yourself and stop just short of the shopping cart and hire Deke to do that part. So if you feel like you want to do part of this yourself but are intimidated by a shopping cart, don't let that stop you. Plenty of people know how to do the shopping cart aspect of it. You can build it right up to that point and then contact someone to come in and do the heavy lifting, which would be the shopping cart aspect of it. But that's a huge consideration as you're exploring, is to consider whether or not, do I need a shopping cart? So on page 5, we're going to go through each one of these options and look at the pros and cons of each one. Because my hope is that by the time we're done looking at these 4 different options, you will come closer to making a decision if you don't have a website, which way you want to go. If you do have a website, still pay close attention because this may change the direction that you go from here. Some of you may want to make changes. You don't know if you want to do it yourself or not. Some of you want to switch from where you have it right now over to something else like WordPress. So these things may come into play when you're making that decision. So we'll start off with the do-it-yourself, the pros and cons. For one thing, to do it yourself is in all likelihood going to save you money, unless, of course, it takes you 1.5 years to do it, in which case that's not saving you money. But if you do think that if after exploring a platform you feel like you can do it in several weeks or even a couple months' time while you're doing other things, it's probably going to save you money. Another big pro, and this is a big one, is that when you do it yourself, you can make changes to your website any old time you want. And I can say from experience, and maybe you can too, that when someone builds a website and maintains it for you, oftentimes when you have changes that you want made now, will get put on somebody else's back burner, and you're kind of just stuck waiting for them to do the changes you want. So a big pro is that you can log in anytime you want, make your changes, and you're done, and it's done and dusted, and you're ready to go. Another one is handling technical problems in your own time frame. With good tech support at your hosting company, you can really get things ironed out very, very quickly. I have found that to be true in the 4 years I've been doing this. A good hosting company, which we'll talk about in depth in a few minutes, but a good hosting company can help you through technical problems in truly a matter of minutes if you have good support. And another pro is that you're learning something new. Learning a new program is a good thing. It's a sense of accomplishment. It's a good boost to your business inner person who's constantly growing. And I personally have seen that over the last 4 years. My own growth has been significant because I tackled WordPress myself, took a bunch of classes and learned it, and have grown a tremendous amount. And that's a very big pro. We all know what that does for us when we grow in that way. The con is, like I mentioned, it might take you some more time to build it than you would like. Too much time, it becomes a money loser and not a money maker. While it's positive that you can make changes yourself, it can be a negative that you must make those changes yourself, especially if you're backed into a corner and you don't have a lot of time. You must tackle those technical problems yourself. And in the beginning, when I first started doing this, they were terrifying to me. What I quickly learned, though, was to lean on the technical support of my hosting company. Like I just mentioned, I found out that 99% of the problems that made my stomach turn were really no big deal. They feel huge because it's techie stuff I didn't know much about, but it didn't take any time at all once I sat down with my tech department and they told me what the issue was. But it still can be a con. You do have to tackle those things yourself and tackle your set of nerves over them. You must navigate a learning curve regardless of whatever program you choose, whether it's WordPress or choosing Wix or Weebly or any other platform. There's always a learning curve, some bigger than others. And like I mentioned just a few seconds ago, setting up a shopping cart can be an arduous thing to do. You can tackle it yourself or hire someone to do it, but it is a little bit of next level work. Even if you know nothing about websites, you can still do it yourself. That's how I started. And as a consultant, I can certainly get you through some tough spots. And if you find another consultant that you know, they can get you through the tough spots in probably a very short phone call or email exchange. So there is plenty of support out there for people like you. If you're a DIY person like I am, there's plenty of support. Let's talk about the pros and cons on number six of using a high school student. But before we do that, I do want to open up for any questions. I want to be sure that that there's not something I've left out that's glaring that's scaring you to death about the thought of doing it yourself. So if anybody's got questions or has tackled doing it yourself and has run across roadblocks,
and remember, you can press star 6 if you have a question.
All right. Well, all right. That's good. Let's move on sure to
wait. We have one.
Waiting. Okay.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes,
no.
I can.
All right. This is Anna. We were talking beforehand, and I, as I was saying, I did not use the web the WordPress platform for building my site, and one of the reasons was that I was thinking about how to choose the template, the plugins, how to make sure that I could make it work together with an autoresponder. Do you think those are things that a not very techie person like myself would be able to do with just some like consulting help, or would I need to find a course on it or basically ask somebody else to do it for me, those parts of it?
The autoresponder, I'm thinking you're talking about setting up like an opt-in form.
Yes.
For
yes.
Auto, yeah, for your email. Email service providers, I use GetResponse, and I have experience with ChimpMonkey, and the tutorials are actually quite easy to build opt-in forms. They can actually be done in a few minutes' time, and autoresponders are kind of the same thing. GetResponse is one of my favorite ones, just because it seems to be quite intuitive. That is not something I think that you would need any help with, although they offer tremendous amount of technical support. So it really is there when you buy their package. So the answer to that is I think that anyone on the call could do that themselves. When it comes to it was you and I that were talking about the plugins before the call started.
Yeah.
WordPress has literally thousands of plugins, and as I was telling you, and now for the rest on the call, WordPress is open source, which means that anyone who is capable of creating a plugin can create a plugin and offer it there. Well, that means, obviously, that your quality can be anywhere from 0 to 10, and they can actually do a world of good and be wonderful, and WordPress will even feature that plugin, or they can be terrible and mess some stuff up and anything kind of in between. My own personal rule is that if I see that plugin featured under at WordPress.com or at WordPress.org, which I will clarify what I just said in a second about org and .com. if I see it featured there on the website, I'll look at their reviews and read them to see what others are saying. And I will make a decision based on that. Now, some there are certain people who are well-known in the plug-in world. Anything by Yoast is going to be perfect. Y-O-A-S-T is the writer of that. And you can jot that name down. If he's got a plug-in, it's good to use. And I would say anything that they feature, you're going to be pretty darn safe because they will have at least tested it to some degree. Always read reviews. Now, when it comes to a theme on WordPress, it's the same exact thing. Anybody who's capable of writing a theme can write a theme. So that means that you can get some really trashy stuff that you don't want to use, and you can find some really great stuff. What I have found as a rule is that anything that is free, be very careful you get what you pay for.
Mm-hmm.
I personally like to use a place called themeforest.com. There's a lot of great themes there. They range from anywhere from $15 to $115 for a theme, and it depends on what you need your theme to do, how much money it costs. But I've been using Theme Forest themes now for a couple of years, and I tend to gravitate to the same ones over and over because they're so customizable. But you can go in and take a live demonstration of them and poke around and see what it can do, and it goes pretty deep into it so that you can see the features of each one and actually play with it. I would suggest that you read the reviews there as well because there are reviews. And always keep in mind with a theme that you purchase that's been built and constructed and gets good reviews that people use over and over, those themes, they're always very, very highly customizable. So you may like the way that it looks, but you want to move one little thing around or 10 little things around. You can pretty much move almost everything around. And when you pay for a theme, especially one of the higher quality themes, it comes with great tech support. At themeforest.com, I have purchased a theme called Blessings over and over and over. And I do it because it's so customizable, and anytime I've needed tech support, I email them or I submit a ticket, actually, and within an hour or two, I will get a response, very, very responsive. Now, at Theme Forest, as an example, and this is true with a lot of places where you buy themes, you'll go to Theme Forest and they'll have hundreds of themes available to purchase, and this means that there's a different author for each one of these. They just have tried it and liked it, and now they're offering it. So when I say I bought, for instance, the Blessings theme, I've also bought another one called Karma from them, totally different author. So there's a totally different tech support team for that. And that's usually how it goes with these themes. They might come in clusters, but a lot of the time you'll find that one theme has been written by this one person, but it's offered at a big place like ThemeForest. But my suggestion is I just wouldn't go with a free theme. There are a few that are good. But most of us need to put a few plugins in there, and that theme needs to be able to support it.
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
All right. If there are no other questions on this topic, we'll move on so we can cover a little bit more ground. I'm glad you asked that question. That gave me a chance to talk about plugins like we were talking before, so thank you, Anna, for that. Page 6, pros and cons of a high school student, and don't laugh when you think about this because these kids know more just by playing around than those of us in my age bracket anyway know by taking classes. They're teaching this in high school. Kids are building websites in high school. They really can do with one brain tied behind their back what might take you weeks and weeks to do. So this is a real great resource, especially over the summer when some high school kids might really be wanting to earn a little extra pocket change, and you won't be paying a whole lot to have a kid do this for you. So a pro is it absolutely will save you money, and a student may know some workarounds or some shortcuts that he or she can teach you. You'll learn a wide variety of computer skills as well, because not only are these students taking computer classes in high school learning the right way to do things, they're also getting online and finding their own shortcuts and other ways to do things, even all the way down to the shortcuts on your keyboard that can save you oodles of time they know these things without thinking about them. And if you'll just stop and ask them while they're building their your website for you, they can educate you in ways that can actually completely blow your mind. Once it's built, maintenance is all that you'll have to deal with. And with a student who's patient enough to show you, that can be sufficient for you to have a really well-working website. Now, the cons are that it may well tax your patience depending on the student that you have. The workarounds and the shortcuts that I said are a pro can become not so much so if they produce technical problems down the road, and it can happen depending on the shortcut. Some are good, some not so much, and you might not find that out until you're a little further down the road. Am I still on? I'm having a little glitch with my phone. Amy, am I still on?
Yep, you're still with us.
Okay, thank you. I was having a little trouble with my phone. Sometimes students, high school students, are not the greatest at teaching you what you need to know to take over. So you will have to ask questions and ask them again until you get the answer that you understand. And you can give them permission to dumb it down and tell them to slow down. You'll have to learn the platform that they use anyway in order for you to tackle the problems going down the line, but they can teach you that. And you can, of course, tell the high school student which platform you would like to use. I know that in my son's high school, they use Weebly to teach. In fact, they did this in middle school. They taught middle schoolers. They built websites on Weebly, so he knew more about that than I did. You'll have to just take a note that unless the kid you hire is a relative, you'll have to be prepared to take over, because that kid's going to disappear once that work is done, unless you can dangle more money in front of him. However, that is an excellent resource over the summer. So if you have access to a high school kid, that might be your answer to getting a great website up pretty quickly. On page 7 are the pros and cons of hiring a geek, and I consider myself one of those with pride. It's a fun thing to be a geek these days. And the pros are that it's going to save you time, because geeks obviously have done this before. This will not be their first rodeo. The sites are usually built correctly because they know what they're doing. That is sort of a little bit of a chance with a high school student. They know an awful lot. A geek is going to know for sure how to do it properly. A high school student is going to pretty much know, but there might be a few little holes in there. Another pro is that the builder knows what you need even if you don't, so that if you're sitting there scratching your head and thinking, I wonder if I need an about page, a geek is going to be able to answer those kinds of questions for you because they built these enough to know. Geeks will usually maintain and tackle the technical problems for you. Many will do that on an ongoing basis for a very nominal fee. And many geeks will offer to host your website for you. They're just kind of a middleman. But this can help you so that, you know, if you do run into technical issues, you're just making one phone call and getting it taken care of. The cons are that web builders are notoriously unresponsive. As I mentioned earlier, when you build your own, you can make your changes on your time frame. When you have a geek build it for you and you have changes you want made, you're kind of at the mercy of that person's schedule. They may do it quickly. They may not. I've heard tales of people waiting months for changes. So that's just something that just to note that it can be that way. Your wait time for changes is often long, and they may try to upsell you on things that you don't need, depending on the geek. It's kind of like a mechanic. They may tell you that a certain thing is more complicated than it actually is. So you just have to know that that's one of the things that you've got to watch for. You're limited to their scope of expertise, and I put that on there because I'm going to point the finger right at myself. While I do build websites, it's not the main thing that I do, but if I build a website for you, I will only build it on WordPress because that's what I know. Could I steal my way through Wix or Weebly? Absolutely, because I've been in there and I've played with it. But that's not what I know really well. It would take me more time than I would want to to have it take and more time than you would want because I would charge you for it. So if you came to me, I would say I do WordPress and WordPress only. If you want something else, I'll refer you to someone else. So you are limited to their scope of expertise. Sometimes they'll tell you and sometimes they won't, and it could cost you more money if they take on a job saying, you know, yes, I'll build your WordPress website because you want WordPress, but they don't know WordPress. So there can be limitations there. They often won't give you the time that's needed to properly insert keywords. And this is because that's a time-consuming part of the project. And some geeks will just kind of barely sort of kind of do it, sort of kind of, and not do a great job of it. It's not unusual for them to disappear after they build your website. I've heard that nightmare over and over again. In fact, people who've gotten really excellent websites built, the guy or the gal did a fabulous job building the site, but then they disappeared, leaving the owner of the site then to try to figure out how to make the changes as time went on, and they couldn't do it. And that's a big problem. And you have to go try to find some technical person who can go in and understand how that website was constructed to make the changes. Geeks do great work, but they're notorious for disappearing after the site is up and running. And, of course, there are exceptions. A good geek will stay with you, and there are lots of them out there. So it's just something to understand. All right, so let's see. I can open questions up for questions right here, or we can move on. Let's just open it up real quick and see if there's any quick questions about this part, and then we'll just cover the last one. Any questions about hiring a geek?
Doesn't look like we have any questions.
All right, then let's go to page eight, pros and cons of turnkey website builders. When I'm talking about the turnkeys, I'm talking about Wix and Weebly and coaching website sites.com, that sort of thing, where you go, it's your one-stop shop for everything, hosting, the theme, the whole thing. And the pros of this are that it's really, really fast. You can have it done in 2 days flat with many of these. So if you're in a big hurry, that's a real great way to go. Shopping carts are available, which is wonderful. If you've never worked with a shopping cart before, I keep bringing it up because it is. It can be a little bit of a hassle, and it can be multifaceted. Your one-stop shop kind of takes a little bit of the hassle out of there because it's all in one place. And I find that very appealing, having installed shopping carts before and hopped through those hoops before. I just think it's very appealing that some of these turnkey operations include that right in their package. It's very convenient because you just log into one place and everything's right there. You find everything you need, and along with your tech support, typically. It's a good foundation upon which to build. And I say that because with many of these sites, if you make a decision later that you want to migrate over to WordPress, depending on the platform, I can't say this is true for every single one of them, but many of these platforms, you can migrate a site that you built on Wix over to WordPress if you decide you want to do that. So it's a really great place to start, especially if you're not in a hurry. These turnkey places have thought of everything. So it's taken a little bit of the guesswork out for you if you're starting from scratch. And in most cases, hosting is provided. I cannot say that's 100%. Sometimes they tack on extra if they're going to host it. Most of the time, I would say well over 50% of the time, that's part of the package. Now, the cons are, the prices are somewhat competitive, I found, at my last check-in, which is always changing, but they are usually a little bit more expensive, and some are a lot more expensive. Wix, I know, is very competitive. Coachingwebsites.com, they're very expensive. So there's stuff in between the two. Tech support can be less than responsive in many cases. I have a colleague who uses a Wix website. She built hers on the Wix platform and has had a little bit of trouble getting the responses that she needs in a timely manner. Being turnkey does not mean automatic traffic, but many of these platforms will promise you the moon and tell you that they've got SEO already built in, so you're going to automatically get immediate and instant traffic. And, you know, it's just like they say, if it sounds too good to be true, blah, blah, blah. It just probably isn't. Traffic, as a rule, takes time and effort. Now, the only way to bypass that is to buy it by buying the top spots with, like, a Google ad, and then you get moved to the top of the page. Otherwise, you have to earn it, and it takes time no matter what they tell you. It just does. There can be some nickel and diming with some of these. It's not too dreadful from my last research. A couple of them, they'll have a tick list of things that you get at different package levels, which I'll show you in a second, that can feel a little nickel and dimey, but it's not too terrible. It's just something to know. A con can be duplicate content. And I'm going to dig into this topic of duplicate content in just a couple pages here at a little more length, because it is that important. Along with duplicate layout, you can have a website that looks exactly like about 250 other people or 2,000 other people if you don't customize it enough. And you do want to stand out enough to be not exactly like everybody else. So, like I said, Wix and Weebly and CoachingWebsites.com are examples of turnkey website building programs. They offer packages, upping prices as you add features. And on page 9, I just took a screenshot just to show you from Weebly. This is actually from their website, the Free Starter Pro and Business site that you can see. With your free site, everything you need for a high-quality site, create up to 5 pages and host your site for free, which sounds really, really delightful. WordPress does the same thing. The problem with this is that you don't get a domain name that's just Tracy Ray Relationship Coaching or whatever you call it. It's going to be tracyrayrelationshipcoaching.weebly.com or something like that. It's going to have the Weebly name in it. And you know what? For your business to sound professional, you really just don't want that. It's the same with WordPress. If you went for a free WordPress site, which you could, it will have WordPress in your URL, and you want to avoid that. You want to own your own URL. The word Weebly will also be in your footer at this free package stage, and you cannot remove that from your website, and you cannot add a shopping cart. So there would be no way for you to receive any payments, whether it's for your coaching fees or for an ebook download or anything like that. For the starter package, you can connect your own domain and remove the Weebly branding, so that's a big plus. And you can also get site stats, which is important if you're going to follow where your readers are coming from, and you get support. However, with the starter package, you can't add video or audio. So if you do podcasts or you want to do a YouTube video and put it on your website, you won't be able to do that at the starter package stage. You won't be able to use header slideshows, like what you would see on the Pink Pigeon Media website, where I've got movement at the top of my website that keeps the viewer looking at it for a few minutes. You can't add a shopping cart on Weebly at this stage, and you can't download digital goods at this stage. Now, with the Pro, it's $8 per month. It's a professional. It has professional multimedia features, which is great. Powerful site search, I don't know what they mean by that unless they're talking about including SEO, which they might be, and password protection, but you still cannot download digital goods, and you can't manage your inventory of digital goods or any other goods on your website. There's no shopping cart at that level. You'll have to go to the business level to get the full shebang, which is everything, shopping cart and absolutely everything that you would need. So that's how Weebly breaks it down, and there's more breakdowns than that, but you can go to their site to get greater detail, which in your research you'll want to do before you make a decision. On page 10, I gave you a screenshot of coachingwebsites.com. I had a colleague who graciously allowed me to log into her coachingwebsites.com website to look at the back end. I wanted to see how it was constructed. And I found it pretty easy to navigate my way through, and I was impressed with that. There were a couple of things that were a little distressing, but they are fixable. Now, one thing I really like about this is for coaches like you, they've really thought of everything. Like I mentioned earlier, they have done this specifically for coaches, so they know what you're looking for and what you need to include on your website. That part's very, very appealing. I've noticed on the coaching website, sites where I've seen coaches who've used it, that there are medical health resources page is provided as a part of the package, but it is an extensive, a long, exhaustive list that I found terribly overwhelming. The good news is you can cut that back. You can eliminate part of it that you don't want. So it's not like you're locked into it. I have noticed that most coaches who use this leave all of that alone and let it sit there on their website, which I would not suggest you do because it is overwhelming. One of the cool things, really cool features, is an online appointment scheduling capability. I, as the reader, can log in and decide, hey, I'd like to talk with you, and I can click a button and fill in a time based on a calendar availability built right into the website, and then you're alerted to that. Totally cool feature. Something that you can do that on WordPress. It's just neat that this is built into that, and it's not hard for you to do. You don't have to do anything. It's already put in there. What is not cool is the pre-written content. Now, they on coachingwebsites.com, they use this as a selling point that they are providing you with pre-written content. This is not a cool feature because duplicate content in the online world is the kiss of death. And in a nutshell, this is how it works. If 550 people build a website on coachingwebsites.com and they all use that pre-written content, the person who got to it first and published their website first is the person Google credits for it, which means their site's going to come up higher than the other X number of hundreds of people who are using the same stuff. In other words, you're going to get lost in the shuffle because all the keywords are the same. So if somebody is Googling relationship coach, the person who built their website first on coachingwebsites.com as a relationship coach is the one who's going to show up. And if you didn't find them until 3 or 4 years later, yours is lost in the mix on page 467 on a Google search. So this is an important note, and I want to be sure you write this down, take note of it in your head, whatever you have to do to remember this, because this is true for every website, whether you use Wix, Weebly, WordPress, or anything. Is duplicate content is an absolute no. What's on your website must be unique to you. So what that means for you is if you decide to go with coachingwebsites.com and build a site there, then you'll have to go directly to their pre-written content and rewrite it yourself or delete it. But you cannot keep it the way that it is as they wrote it and expect to get anywhere with it because you're going to get lost in the shuffle. It's great content. I've read it myself. I've read it a couple times. Really good stuff. So if you take that really good stuff and you rewrite it in your voice the way you would have said it using your way and your idioms and your personality, interject it completely, make it yours, you're in good shape. And if rewriting stuff is something that's easy for you to use, then this is fabulous. But my advice to you is do not leave it the way that it is. Duplicate content is a killer on any website. It's a bad thing. You must be uniquely you. Rewrite your brains out. Don't post it the way that it is. Another great feature, and it's a must-have feature if you're going to buy a package, is SEO. If you buy a package with anybody, there should be some element of SEO involved in that package. I can't speak to how deeply they go into it, obviously, until you go in there and you dig, but that should be a part of it because that's part of this game we're playing online. SEO is a part of the package. That search engine optimization, it's critical use of keywords and naming your pages properly and that sort of stuff to get you found with search engines. So that should be part of it. The other thing I liked about coachingwebsites.com is look how fast they can have you up and going within 2 hours, they say, if you go with an online template. And that's pretty amazing. I don't know what that means in terms of how they help you or what you have to do because I've never done it. This is a promise that they make and something worth investigating if you're in a hurry. And here's the downside with them is that it is a whopping $59 a month. That's $708 a year compared to $300 if you use Weebly or roughly $100 a year if you use a WordPress site for hosting. So, but, you know, it's one of those things. Now, if you want everything in one package and you don't want to do a thing with it other than blogs, which I suggest you do and have in every module I've given, maybe it's worth it to you to pay that much money to have it all but run itself. But you will have to go in and rewrite this content that they provide for you, and that's going to be a chunk of your time at the front end of this. But it is essential. So on page 11, this is what I say if you're a do-it-yourselfer. I recommend WordPress. And yes, there's a big learning curve, but there are plenty of people like myself who can help you, lots of consultants that can help you to get you from one step to the next step. I recommend it for three reasons. It's very highly customizable. You can do almost anything in the world that you want to on your website if it's a WordPress site. Search engines love, love, love WordPress sites. They just routinely work well, in particular if you've chosen a very well-developed theme. They are affordable because you're purchasing hosting, yearly hosting, and a one-time purchase of a theme and your domain name each year that renews. So it's a very affordable thing. This doesn't mean that I'm against turnkey website builders at all. If your budget allows for you to do that and it's a good fit for you, maybe coaching websites is for you. They've got everything. All you do is just plug in your stuff. So I'm not downing them at all. It's just a matter of what it is that you want to do. But I do want to break down this WordPress WordPress.org thing for clarification. If you do have a site like that or want a site like that and you hear people talk about WordPress, WordPress.com is basically a blogging site that is free. It's not going to cost you anything at all. It's not the greatest for business. WordPress is broken into WordPress.com and WordPress.org. .com is more for blogging for free. .org is much better for business. On page 12, I've broken this down a little bit. WordPress is WordPress.com, WordPress.org. .com is self-hosted free blogging tool, but it has significant limitations. It's not usually best for your business website. For a fee, you can have the word WordPress removed from your domain name. If you don't do that, it will have the word WordPress in your domain name, as I mentioned to you previously. So instead of TracyRayRelationshipCoaching.com, it would say TracyRayRelationshipCoaching.wordpress.com. I can have that removed for a fee, but I still have significant limitations if I go with .com. If I go with .org, this means you pay for hosting with a hosting company outside of WordPress, and your domain name is purchased as a separate domain name. It belongs to you. It does not have WordPress in it. But you have almost unlimited capability all under your control at WordPress.org. Now on page 13, I've got an illustration just to bring it down to earth, just to make it super simple. On page 13, let's say you're hosting a party. You want to host it at a restaurant. That's WordPress.com. Then you can only have a certain number of guests because the restaurant's only so big. Maybe you can only seat 12. Maybe you can only seat 20. But you're limited to the size of the restaurant. You're also limited to what's on the menu, steak or chicken. You can have your party there at WordPress.com, but you're going to do it with very significantly limited space and menu items, just like if you hosted at a restaurant. If you host your own party at your home, WordPress.org, you can invite the entire neighborhood, as many people as you want to serve, and you can choose the food from tacos to chicken to Chinese food, and you can stay up all night if you want to. Do what you want, because at WordPress.org, you do what you want. You pay for it. You got to pay for all of it, but you can do what you want. So that's kind of an illustration of breaking those two things up. WordPress.com is fine if you're going to blog. If you want a business website, you got to go with WordPress.org and purchase separate hosting. So that's the difference between those two things. And I want to stop right here because WordPress is kind of involved. So if there's any questions, let's talk about this. We're going to get into hosting, so don't worry. If you ask me a hosting question and I'm about to answer it, I'll tell you. Otherwise, you can ask it right now. But let's take a second to have questions on WordPress.
Okay, we are still in question and answer mode from the last time. So if you have a question now or at any point during the rest of the call, you can just press *6 to put yourself in the queue.
I just want to be sure the difference between WordPress.com and WordPress.org is clear. Does anybody have any questions about that? Because starting a website using WordPress does not mean going to WordPress.org and clicking click and starting a website. That's not how it works.
We do have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, hi, this is Irene, and this is a really dumb question, I'm sure, but I'm such a neophyte at this that this is all very new to me. I don't understand what hosting is.
You know what?
By hosting.
That is not even a little bit of a dumb question. And I've heard dumb questions before, and that's not one of them. That's a good one.
Good.
Here's the thing. When you build a website, it involves massive amounts of files. And your home computer cannot possibly manage that many files without crashing. It's kind of like, I like to think of it this way. When you're hosting, it's like you're having people over to your house to stay. If you live in a one-bedroom flat and you're having out-of-town guests, you got to host them somewhere, so you send them to the Hyatt downtown. You're hosting them with someone who has the space to take them. Your website's doing the same thing. You're about to build something really huge with huge files. You need somebody who can manage those files, a server big enough to manage those files for you. And that's what a hosting company is going to do, because they're huge and they're massive, and their computers are huge and massive. So you can build a huge, massive website, and it won't crash your personal computer. So that's and I'm going to break this down a little bit more, so I'm glad you asked it. It's going to get more clear in just a second. But that's in a nutshell. So, yes, thank you for asking that question. And hang in there. I'm going to get even more clear.
Great. Thanks.
All right. Sure. Is there anybody else who's got a WordPress.org.com differentiation question? Okay, good. I feel like with my PDF, since you asked that great question, I've got these two pieces turned around, and I want to talk about hosting instead of what's on the next page. Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt. We do have two questions here. I don't know if they're related to the WordPress.
Okay, great.
Okay, here we go.
All right, great. Go ahead.
Hi, hello?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay. My question is, basically, I'm very new at this as well, and I purchased my domain name through GoDaddy.com,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just wondering if you have a recommendation for GoDaddy or what your thoughts are on that particular.
Yeah, I do have thoughts on that. I'm a pretty opinionated person on that topic anyway. You know, they're okay. GoDaddy's okay for purchasing domain names, although unless you're going to host with them, I would. It has been my experience. It's much easier to purchase your domain name from the same hosting company that you're going to host with, because now that you own your domain name with GoDaddy, wherever it is you choose to host, if it's not GoDaddy, you've got to transfer that domain name. And look, it's doable. It's just a hassle. It's one of those things in life that's a hassle. It's not a flip a switch and done. There's a couple hoops to jump through, and your tech support will do it. It's not a biggie. It's just one more thing in life you got to do. So I always buy my domain names from the same place I'm hosting with. And unfortunately, I'm about to tell you I would not host with GoDaddy. There's a number of reasons for that. They're well known. Everybody knows who they are. They're dominating when it comes to knowing who they are and recognizability. But they tend to have lousy tech support, for one thing. Their control panel is really difficult to maneuver in. And there are times when you build a website that you need to go into the control panel. We call it a cPanel. And any hosting company you choose must have a good maneuverable cPanel. You don't want one that's clunky and hard to get to. And I find GoDaddy very, very, very confusing. And I do this as a business, so for me to say that, I've been in there enough to get to want, really want to pull my hair out. And they have a tendency sometimes to go down more than other hosting sites where people will find something, will crash for a little bit of time, and then it comes back up again. So I steer people away from GoDaddy. Buying your domain name from them is not a bad thing, and it's not a mistake. I just would not recommend hosting with them. And I do have recommendations that I'm going to make shortly for my top three picks, and I'll share that with you shortly. But buying from them is fine, your name. It would always be my advice that you buy your domain name from whomever you are going to host with just for the ease of it. And I think I answered your question. Did I answer your question? I hope I did.
You did, yeah. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good. Was there another one, another question?
There is another question.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi. My question is, I have purchased a domain name, a .com, and so I'm confused about WordPress.com versus WordPress.org, and how does that impact my purchased domain name, which is a .com?
It doesn't at all. You're having purchased that. Where did you purchase the domain name?
GoDaddy, but they're not
okay.
Hosting it.
Yeah, that's okay. But they're not hosting it, or they are hosting it?
Are not.
They're not. Okay. No, it doesn't affect anything at all because you can buy a domain name from anywhere and still use it with any hosting company. It's just a matter of transferring that over to your new hosting company. And whichever hosting company you pick, all you have to do is contact them and let them know where you purchased it, and they'll tell you which hoops that you have to hop through to get that domain transferred over. It makes no difference whether it's .com, .net, .biz. None of that makes any difference. It's perfectly fine what you did.
So if I'm going to WordPress to create a site and I have a .com, it doesn't mean that it's self-hosted and that you have the limits with the WordPress.com that you don't have with the .org?
Well, that is correct, but all you bought was a domain name. So
right.
you reserved a name. So if you don't yet have hosting, then you don't have a website or anything. All you do is own a name. So the next step for you is to make a decision about where you want to host your website, and then you migrate, since it won't be GoDaddy, if you decide it won't be GoDaddy, then you're going to migrate that. You're just going to transfer, is the term I want to use, transfer that domain name over to your new hosting company, who will tell you how to do that. They will hold your hand right through that. And once it's over there with your new hosting company, you will be able to upload WordPress.org, their platform, and it will bring up on the screen a skeleton of a WordPress site, and you start building it. But you have to have hosting for that. So all you own right now is your domain name. You'll still need to get hosting, and you'll still have to upload WordPress onto your hosting, and then you'll be ready to start building your site.
Thank you.
Okay, great. So I'm gonna skip page 14. We're going to come back to that in just a second and go to page 15, so it's on the topic of hosting. We'll go back to 14 in just 1 second. It'll take me two shakes of a lamb's tail to clear that right up. If you opt for using a turnkey website builder like Weebly or Wix, then you don't need to worry about hosting because that's part of their package. Like I said, that you may pick a different one, a different platform that I am not mentioning tonight, and you'll have to double-check that they provide hosting, and most of the time they do, but you'll want to be sure. But if you do it yourself, then you're looking at three common types of hosting. I'm giving you this information to simply tell you this. The one that you probably need in all likelihood for a coaching website is shared hosting, the first one I have outlined here. And it's least expensive. It'll be adequate for what you need. Shared hosting is like living in an apartment. You share space with others on a server. What you do in your area on your website can affect others and vice versa, meaning that there's this big old server. It has a whole bunch of websites that it hosts to people who pay them. And if one website gets a whole lot of traffic for some reason, it can affect you. It might slow your site down. Usually not, but it can. But shared hosting, I have found it to be completely adequate for coaching websites. It is the least expensive. VPS hosting stands for virtual private servers. It's like living in a townhome, and you share the property, but with far fewer people. There's much more space. You have more leeway with how you decorate your space, that sort of thing. This is for somebody who expects to have a good deal of traffic. Maybe not a whole ton, like a Coca-Cola would have a whole ton of traffic, or another big company like IBM might get a lot of traffic or something like that, or CNN would get a lot of traffic. But somebody who thinks they're going to get a lot of traffic might choose VPS hosting. Dedicated server hosting is for the big dog. You're probably not going to need that until you turn into a Tony Robbins. And then you might need a dedicated server because you've got so much traffic coming in. It's a lot more expensive, but it can handle more traffic. For people just starting out, shared hosting is going to be just fine. It is the basic business package that you'll find at virtually any hosting company. And if you're unsure, you can call them and tell them what you're doing, and they'll tell you exactly which package, and it will probably be shared hosting. So that's probably all you really need to know about hosting, because if you get confused and befuddled when you go to one of these hosting companies, like what I'm about to suggest to you, they will answer all your questions in about 2 seconds just by giving them a call or sending them an email. But the basic package that you're going to need is their basic shared served hosting for your basic business package. Keep in mind, if you buy that and it's not right for you, you can always upgrade. There's no mistake with it. It's not like you've made a big mistake and can't fix it. They're happy to upgrade you because you're going to pay more money for it. So start at the basic. Build your website on that. If at some point in time you outgrow it and need to move on because you're getting so much traffic, you're good. You're golden. All you have to do is upgrade. Piece of cake. Start with the basic and you're going to be good, which is shared hosting. The best hosting providers you're going to find on page 16, this is my opinion, and that may be a hill of beans to you and nothing more than that. I can speak to these three because I've used them and I have experience with them, and the ones that I don't like because I have experience with them, which would be GoDaddy primarily. My favorite, InMotion Hosting by a landslide. I've used HostGator and I've used Bluehost, and they're excellent. I like InMotion Hosting because their tech support has never once, not once, let me down in the 4 years that I've bugged them to death about every little thing. I have gone so far as to get in a chat window with tech support at InMotion and said, I need you to hold my hand. I am lost. And they have held my hand every time that I've done it. They have fixed more problems than I could even begin to tell you. Dumb, silly mistakes that I made and stuff that wasn't me at all that I didn't know wasn't me that they were able to spot. They are absolutely my favorite. Very friendly, very approachable, and they are wise, know what they're doing. So they're the ones that I'm actually an affiliate. That's how much I love them. And that's why I've included the affiliate link there. If you opt to go with InMotion Hosting, I would love it if you use my link. It's fine if you don't. I would love it if you did. That's why I suggest them. The other thing with InMotion is I've never had them go down one time, which I have had with other hosting companies. It's brief periods of time where they'll have an outage for some reason. It's never been a long time. With HostGator, I had it once. Not a long time. Very brief. Like I said, HostGator and Bluehost are excellent. If you go with them, I don't think you'll be disappointed at all. They get great reviews. Both of them do. The bulk of my experience is with InMotion. Absolutely love them. So I want to back up. You can ask me questions about hosting in a minute, but I don't want to forget page 14. Just quickly say this about domain name. If you've not yet chosen a domain name, and that's kind of hanging you up, I'll just give you this little couple tips real quick. Choose a name that has keywords in it if it's possible, and make a list of domain names to just think about and do some searching to see if there are already in use. Just make a long list of things that appeal to you. But when you do a list, when you do a search to see if a domain name is free and available, don't go to a seller like GoDaddy and search there. If you do that, if you found a name that you really, really, really like and you really, really, really hope it's free and you go to some place like InMotion Hosting to search it out and buy it or GoDaddy to search it out and buy it, if you search it and you don't buy it because you decide, well, I think I want to think about it overnight, it's going to go away. And I don't know and nobody really knows why that is, but the minute you search it, it will suddenly disappear and become unavailable. So you need to be prepared to buy it right then when you do the search. So my best advice is pick the names that you're courting and just do a Google search. If a website pops up and you see all this great stuff, you know the name is taken and you can move on to the next one. It's when you've decided on a name that you want to go to the seller because you want to be prepared to purchase it at that moment. That's the time to use them to see if it's available for real. Now, my other tip is what I just mentioned to the last person that asked me a question. This just makes life easier if you purchase your domain name from your chosen hosting company. This way you don't have to transfer it to the hosting company from your domain name seller. Not the end of the world if you didn't. You haven't done a bad thing by buying from GoDaddy, like I said. Now you just have to transfer it to the hosting company of your choice. It's just one more step you have to go through. So that's why I say I use InMotion. I buy my domain names from there just to save myself that particular step. Okay, so having said all of that, I'm about to cover part four, necessary elements of a website. This is a tick list, and I put it here so that you can refer to it later when you're ready to sit down and really do this. And we're going to run through it really quick because I can see that we've gone over an hour, which I was really hoping not to keep you this long. But I'll run through this real quick, and then we'll open it up for questions. And I'm willing to stay as long as you have questions, so there's no rush on my part. I don't want to keep you longer than an hour that you might have designated for this module. So the basic pages, elements of your website come down to this. And again, this is my opinion, and others may differ with me, but I see the necessary pages as obviously your homepage where people land when they first come to your website. And on that page gives a quick, brief, why they're here, what this website is about. They need to know that it is a life coaching website. You need to make it clear where they landed and what it is that you do there in as few words as possible right at the very top. You need an about page that tells about you as a person and gives your credentials. People will like to know what you have in the way of credentials, what gives you your expertise. That's the place to put that. A contact page that has a contact form and or your email mailing address or or a physical mailing address if that's what you prefer. A pricing page, there is a lot of back and forth about whether or not you want to put prices on your page. Some people say yes, some people say no. I've talked to dozens of coaches. Some say that they got more coaching clients when they had their pages listed. Others are very uncomfortable doing that. I, as a consumer, prefer to see prices so I know what I'm dealing with. This is just your call. I think there should be a pricing page. You can mark that off your list if you like. That is totally my opinion. Your practices. I like to see a page on a coaching website that gives me a specific description of your method of coaching. In other words, a work with me page that tells what it's like to work with you. Some people don't get it if they don't know what coaching is. They don't know that they can do this on the phone. You know all this. They don't know if they can do it on the phone. They don't know if they have to be there in person. You've had these questions asked to you as coaches. So answer them on this page. But you can Skype with them. You can call them. You can whatever it is you want to do. I say this in every module, and I'll always say it. You need to blog. this is what keeps your website fresh, not just for readers, but for search engine spiders that help your website get found. This is how you keep good, fresh, up-to-the-minute content on your website. It's a good way to feed it. Your social buttons need to be on there. Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, whichever you're going to use needs to be on your website. And other pages to consider are an FAQ page, a resources page if you want to direct people to websites that you appreciate and trust, a page to shop if you have a book or product, a speaking page if you book speaking engagements. And things to add as you grow, you'll want opt-in forms to capture email addresses, so you'll want an email service provider so you can do that. Don't be overwhelmed. Keep this list to refer to later. You don't have to understand it all now, but know that in the future you'll want that. You may want affiliate links for books that you recommend, and you'll find on my website at pinkpigeonmedia.com that I have recommended reading. If you make a purchase through my recommended reading, I get Amazon will pay me for going through my website to the Amazon site, and you can do the same thing. You can be an affiliate on your website to recommend books that you believe in and love. I say always read the books that you recommend, and everybody tells you that. You don't have to, but that's my practice. That's what I do. Now, it may have been a little bit of time since I read a couple of the books that are on there, but I've read them all. And you might want to consider a testimonial page because we all know what that does, speaks highly when others speak highly of you, and you can put that on your website. It's just something to add as you grow. The important thing to do is to start. You can change things on your website at any time, so you're not going to have it perfect straight out of the box. I'm never satisfied with my website, and I doubt that you'll ever be 100% satisfied with your website. The important thing is to get going, get moving, get started, and make it happen. Now, as I said, at the end of this, on the next page starts the Q&A section that was sent to me previously. So if you were one of those who sent a question, it's listed here with a very brief answer. And I want to encourage you, if I've not answered your question in a way that you get it and makes sense, I'd love for you to reach out to me and just email me at the very, very bottom of this PDF is an email address. You can say, hey, Tracy, I really didn't get it. Let's break it down some more, and I'm more than happy to answer your question better than I've got it on this page. So for right now, since it is 10 after, and I understand some of you will have to go, I'm here for the duration. So if you want to talk and do some more Q&A or go down this list of Q&As with me, I am happy and I'm here, and I won't leave till you're ready to go. So let's open it up for questions and answers.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay. I don't want to take up all the time. I feel like I'm asking all the questions here, but I'm still thinking about the difference between the WordPress site and the system that I'm using right now. And one of the things that is included in the system that I'm using is the possibility of sending out emails to a list, and I obviously if I want that on a WordPress site, then I need to integrate it with one of them, MailChimp or Aweber or something else. And I'm wondering how you said that it's possible to do it yourself, and yeah, I know that there is a lot of things that you can do with the autoresponder, and first of all, to give out your IFO and that sort of thing. So, but it's also a cost, because I think you pay something like $19 per month or something for Aweber. I think it's around the same cost for MailChimp too. So how important do you think it is to set that up right from the beginning?
Well, here's the thing about that. In a perfect world, I'd say set it up right from the beginning, and it's super, super important, and yay, let's all do it. But we have to be practical, especially if you're starting from scratch. And I realize that you're saying that you have a website, and you were saying to me before this call started that you're looking at another one to do another one. But we can't do it all at one time.
Just
about. And
listening to this one more thing.
Overwhelm is a big deal, right,
yeah,
for all of us. And so the reason that on my list of things that you should work towards, I included an opt-in form. I would love to see it right from the get-go, but it's one of those things that you've got so much to do just to get a website up to start with, that I would say go ahead and get the throw some meat on the bones of the basic pages that you need, and make it your plan to integrate an opt-in form that you are getting from GetResponse or MailChimp or one of the other email service providers. Just put it on your list of things that you're going to do, because your mailing list and keep in contact with potential clients and clients that way is absolutely critical and fundamental to making all of this work. But since you can't do it all at once and it can be a little overwhelming, I say start off with your website first and then put that on your list of things to do when you get far enough along that you're comfortable. Creating an opt-in form on GetResponse, I can stick to GetResponse, is really easy and really fast. And all you need is the GetResponse plugin to use on your WordPress website. And I know if you've never done that before, this is like speaking Greek, but it's literally the click of a button that says, do you want to upload this plugin that GetResponse will provide for you or even WordPress will provide for you? You say yes, and there it is. And it really is that simple. So,
okay.
You know, it's just easy to get overwhelmed because you're not looking at it on your screen right now and you haven't done it before. I think to answer your question, I think it's really, really important that you integrate it and do it as soon as you can. But you have to know you've got two hands and overwhelm that you're dealing with. So you start off with the parts that you can bite off right now, and you do those first. And just keep the concept of your getting an email service provider and creating an opt-in form as something that you're going to work toward in the coming months.
Right. Yeah.
Does
well,
that answer your question?
Yeah. Yeah, certainly. Certainly. Yeah. Yeah, it's the part of being a little bit overwhelmed of learning a new system, because I know the one that I'm using now, but I don't know WordPress, and I'm wondering whether it's how much of a learning curve it is. But I really appreciate your answers.
Right. And, you know, it's fair to say that there's a decent amount of a learning curve with WordPress. And somebody did ask the question, is there a good book on this topic? And I went ahead and narrowed it down. I think that the person asking the question was probably saying on this topic, meaning a good book on websites as a whole. And I answered it much, much more specifically down to what is a good book on WordPress. And I recommend WordPress to Go, which you can get on my website. In the Q&A section, you can just click that link to my website. And on the sidebar is my recommended reading, and you can find it there. It starts from the beginning and walks you through how to create a WordPress website. And I can tell you in a nutshell, it starts with you choose your hosting service. Like if you were to choose InMotion Hosting, you click my affiliate link, you purchase their basic business package, and when you get in there, there are instructions for how to upload WordPress, and if you think that's overwhelming, you just click the chat button, and you chat with tech support, and they'll handhold you through the process, or you can consult with me, and I'll handhold you through the process and get WordPress downloaded onto your website so that you're ready to start shopping for a theme that's pretty, that makes you feel happy and glad and want to throw daisies in the air. That part's the fun part, finding a theme that you like. It's the fun part. And then you start throwing meat on those bones, and before you know it, you have a website. And I don't want to oversimplify it. Yes, there is a learning curve, but like I said, there's people like me out there who can consult with you, and it can really be pretty fun to create a website. Totally doable. If I can do it, you can do it. That's the truth.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that encouragement.
Sure.
Tracy, are you
Tracy?
Able to hear me?
I'm right here, yes.
I have a question for you. My name is Jackie, and I am totally new to this. I've been doing some consulting and have now gotten my certification in coaching. And when I was doing my consulting, I was working with someone who purchased a domain name. But the domain name is a very staid kind of, you know, it's a company name. And now as I've started to work in the coaching business, it seems to me that that is not what I would want for my domain name, because it really has much more to do with business as opposed to coaching, which is, I think, a more dynamic experience. What do you recommend? I purchased two domain names because of the name of my company. Should I just not worry about it? I purchased the domain names for a period of 2 years. Should I just keep that and move on and purchase a domain name that more accurately reflects the dynamism of the coaching experience?
Well, I have a couple of questions before I can answer that. First of all, the website that you have, is it really becoming all about your coaching practice? So you're making a big shift from it being businessy to coaching? Is that what you're
saying? It's always been intended to be business and coaching.
Okay. So now it is becoming primarily your coaching practice. So you would change the name if you could.
I haven't developed a website. It was just purchasing the domain name. That's all I've done. It's just a purchase of two domain names that were the names of that is the name of my company. But I believe that the coaching practice should probably reflect something a little more fun, maybe.
Okay. Well, there's a couple of things that you can do, depending on when you purchased that domain. If it was really recent, you can probably contact the hosting company, and they'll make a change. I did that recently within InMotion. I actually made a mistake. I made a typo. And because it was so recent, they just fixed it for me. Was this a recent purchase?
It was in June.
Oh, okay. Probably too late for that. There are a couple different ways that you can do this. You can, of course, stick with it the way that you've got it. You can purchase a third one and point that domain name to the other one that you already own if you want to do that, which your hosting company can walk you through that. That's another one of those things that it sounds like brief when I say it, but if you talk to your hosting company and say, I have this other domain name and I want to point it towards the one that I purchased before, they'll say, oh, yeah, sure, this is what you do. And in 3 seconds, it's done. It's one of those things. It just sounds real Greeky, but it's really, really not. So you can do it that way if you like. My thought on domain names is a couple things. I like to see a keyword in your domain name if it's possible to do it. And I say, for instance, if I'm a relationship coach, I would like the word relationship in there somewhere. Because when people go to find some help for relationship problems, they don't know sometimes that they're looking for a coach. They just know their relationship's in trouble. So they might Google, I'm having relationship trouble. I want the word relationship in there if I can do it. It's not a deal breaker, though, see, because we can use SEO on other pages of our website. So I'm saying all that to say this. If you want to change it, I would contact your hosting company and find out if they'll work with you to change it, because they just might. If they won't, you can purchase another one and have them point that new domain name to your other original name. Or you can count it a loss and buy a whole new name and just start over if you want. But that is kind of a loss. And I always do this. I always do this with my hosting company. I always talk to them to find out what my options are. And I do this every time. Even though I've been working with InMotion for 4 years, they add on and they grow and they change their policies and they expand things. And then when they get to know you, they'll do favors for you and stuff like that. So I think if I were in your shoes, my first stop would be to call tech support and ask them, what can I do if this is what I want to do? And then they'll walk you, if it's a good hosting company, they'll walk you through your options. they'll probably tell you what I just told you, but at least you'll know. And if they have some other, you know, they deal with this all the time. They have people call them all the time that say, oops, I want a different domain name. So they have solutions that
okay.
are beyond what I'm telling you.
Right.
In my case, I've purchased 3 or 4 or 5 domain names that I like and pointed them all to one domain name so that in case somebody Googles a different keyword and it comes up, they still come to my website. So having more than one domain name that all points to one place is not unusual in the least. You wouldn't be doing something weird at all. That would be normal to them.
Thank you very much.
So Tracy, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I have a question regarding a class on WordPress. Like you had mentioned that you took several classes. So I attended a webinar, and it was by a person that did training classes in WordPress. And I'm just wondering if that's the kind of thing where you really need intensive classes to become efficient at it, or is it something you can do for yourself with a little help? And this is for, like, basically I'm not that techie.
The last part you broke up, did you just say you're not real techie?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not real techie.
Right. And I would have said the same thing about myself 5 years ago when I started this. Now, when I did my first website, I sat elbow to elbow with someone who walked me through the initial stages. And by that, I mean she walked me through purchasing my hosting and purchasing my domain name and uploading WordPress, and she walked me through the process of finding a really good theme and uploading the theme, and she pointed to a couple things to show me where to make certain changes, and then I was on my own, and I learned the rest myself. Now, I would not have said of myself at that time that I was techie at all, but what I learned through that process turned me into a complete geek, and now I'm in love with it. I think that the website, if I'm remembering right, it took me probably about 3 weeks to do it myself, and I didn't know anything when I started in WordPress other than how to get in there. So I'm one of those that feels really confident that if you'll set aside time to just look at the basics or sit down with somebody like me who could be elbow to elbow just to throw the bones up there, you're going to be able to put the meat on there. And you've always got consultants who can help you. I think it's completely doable because I did it myself. And my colleagues, I have half a dozen colleagues I consult with when I run into issues. They're all self-taught. Every one of them is self-taught. I took some courses from a woman who taught herself. I mean, we're all teaching ourselves. That's what WordPress is. It's open source. Everybody's teaching themselves. That's the way you learn WordPress. There's no one guru who created it who knows all things. It's open source. It's something that was created by a group of people. It's constantly changing, constantly being improved upon. Everybody who knows it because they took courses and taught themselves. So we can all do it. You can do it.
So when you're working on it, can you keep it in a draft form so that it's not published while you're taking a certain amount of time to learn?
Well, it's kind of sort of like that, but not really. When you upload WordPress and you start building it, there is a checkbox that you can request in the settings area of WordPress that you can request for search engines not to index your site. And in the geeky world, we call it, when we're ready for the site to be online, we call it go live. And we check that box that says, okay, search engines, now you can start indexing my site. While you're building it, it's good to have that box unchecked so that search engines don't index it. It doesn't mean that, though, if somebody has your address, they could actually go there, but you can put your website in maintenance mode so that if someone does find your URL for some reason or hear about it and decide to check it out for some weird reason, a screen will pop up that says, whoops, we're in maintenance mode, check back with us later. And that's what they'll see until you take it off of that mode. So no one will see you while you're building it. You can totally build it without people seeing it.
Okay. Thank you.
Tracy?
Yes.
You can hear me? Okay, good. On WordPress websites, the humongous prices that I see, those are for really fancy templates and themes, correct?
You're going to have to ask that another way because part of the front part of it got cut off, something about prices on...
Okay.
Try that again.
Okay. On WordPress's website, I see different themes for with really big prices on them. That's when you purchase that, that's a one-time purchase for a specific look or a specific theme. Is that correct?
That is correct. In this world, there are some things that you renew every year and some things that when you buy them, they belong to you. Once you've purchased a WordPress theme, it is yours to use until you're sick of it. As opposed to a domain name that you have to renew. It's like you're renting your domain name and you pay to renew it with your hosting company every year or every 2 years or whatever. But with a WordPress theme, you own it once you purchase it.
Okay, and once you own it, there's no renewal fee, like you're saying. And
correct.
In terms of hosting, that is a monthly bill. Am I correct? Or
now most hosting companies they may all do this, but I'm going to use the word most because I'm not sure. Most hosting companies want the year's fee all at one time, so you don't pay for it month to month. They break it down so that you can see what you're basically paying every month. But like with InMotion, when you sign up, you go ahead and you pay them your $99 this year. And when you renew, you can do auto-renew, and it will automatically renew for the next year. I have never done it month to month. I don't know that anybody does do it month to month. I could be really, really wrong about that. I haven't ever signed up with like Weebly or Wix, for instance. For all I know, you can take it down. If you hate it this month or you loved it this month and hate it next month, you can quit. I don't know about that. I know InMotion and HostGator and Bluehost, you go ahead and you pay for a year or even a two-year period of time all at once.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sure.
Tracy?
Yes.
I just wanted to make a clarification with you about the InMotion hosting.
Okay.
As I was listening, I was actually looking at their website, and for their business hosting, for someone who's just starting out, it doesn't list that they include an SEO, and you said that that was a must. So I was wondering if you knew for sure. I mean, I can always call them, but I was wondering if you knew off the top of your head if that's included in their
Well, I'm glad that you did say that, because what I was referring to is your turnkey operation. When they are offering you the whole package, the whole tamale, some form of SEO needs to be involved in that package. It may be big, it may be little, but something needs to be in that package. InMotion isn't offering you a package. They're just offering your hosting. So SEO belongs to you. That's your job to do that with your website. All they're doing is giving your website a place to live. That's what InMotion is. Wix and Weebly and coachingwebsites.com, those are the turnkey places that are all one-stop shop. You should have everything in the package that you need.
Okay.
So that's the difference. That's the clarification. I'm sorry I didn't make that very clear, did I? Clear as mud, but there you go. Did
okay.
that help you?
Yeah, that does. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, good.
Tracy, this is Melanie.
Hi there.
I don't know anything about any of this, so there's a whole lot of information that I'm taking in, and I'm a little stuck on domain name. Is that the same thing as the website address?
Yes, it is. It's your URL. Like my business is Pink Pigeon Media, so my domain name is pinkpigeonmedia.com.
Okay. Thank you.
And I want to say this one other thing about domain names when you make the purchase. InMotion Hosting and other hosting companies offer you, when you purchase a domain name, the option to buy domain name privacy. Now, within InMotion, it's another $10 on top of the domain name price. And I recommend that you do that because people who are savvy online know how to, in a matter of one or two clicks, get to the information of the purchaser of the domain. And when you give your information, it's usually your name and your street address and that other kind of private personal information. They can't see your credit card number and stuff like that, but they do have your physical address and a few other things. When you purchase domain name privacy, they can't do that. When they do their one or two clicks to try to find that information, what they come up with is your hosting company's address and name. And that's what you want. You don't need people to know, unless you want the world to know your physical address and other stuff like that, you don't need them to know that kind of stuff. So go ahead and pay that extra $10 for domain name privacy. I personally think it's a very smart thing to do to protect yourself personally from those meanies online who like to do stuff to destroy other people's hard work online.
Right.
So I'm glad you brought that up. It made me think about that. That's a pretty important aspect of purchasing your domain name. And another thing someone else asked was about, should I buy .com, .biz, .net, that sort of stuff? I know that there's an awful lot of really great names out there that you really wish you could have that are taken because the world is getting pretty crowded online these days. And so you might be tempted to do .net because the .com version of what you want is already taken. But it would always be my suggestion to you to always get the .com of any name that you want to get. If you want to buy .biz and .net or whatever also, that's fine. Lots of people do that. But the entire internet world is so used to .com that if you can get that, you should get that. And I would always steer you in that direction to get that. When I bought my domain, I also bought, not only did I buy the pinkpigeonmedia.com, but I also bought pinkpigeonmedia.biz, pinkpigeonmedia.net. I have not found that to be as useful as I thought it would be. The .com is what people remember. And that's what people do. We've almost programmed our fingers to do that. I mean, when you type in an address, you automatically do .com, don't you? I think most of us do at this point. So my suggestion is try to get a .com no matter what. If you want to supplement with other ones, that's fine. You can point those other domains to your .com address. But it's my opinion that you need .com.
Thank you so much.
So, Tracy, I have a question. What is the best way to contact you to follow up if I might want to explore options for building a website and I'm not a DIYer?
Okay. Yeah, and I understand that completely. It's not everybody's wheelhouse, and I totally get that. You can contact me through my website, and at the very end of this PDF, I've got several ways to contact me by my email address or straight on my contact me page at pinkpigeonmedia.com. You can contact me either way there, and I'd be happy to talk with you. For anybody who is interested in social media consultation really of any kind, I will always talk to you for the first 30 minutes for free just to get a feel for what it is you're facing. And then after that, my consultation fees are $100 an hour, and I cover an awful lot in that amount of time. If you've been in my modules, you know I cover an awful lot of stuff, and I realize that this can be overwhelming. So I'm absolutely available. And here's the other thing. Like I said previously, if you have a question about this particular module that it's just bugging you and I haven't answered the question or you didn't understand my answer, you can email me and I will absolutely answer you as best I possibly can. That's just part of this module is I want you to understand what it is I've covered here. So if there's something that's foggy, please email me and let me know that, and I'll do my level best to make sure that I clarify it for you. And that email address, again, is at the very end of this PDF document. You'll see it at the very, very bottom. It's pj@pinkpigeonmedia.com.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Tracy, I have a question.
Sure.
If you've already purchased a domain name from GoDaddy or anywhere else, is it possible to purchase it from the hosting company? The hosting, where you're going to have it hosted, or how you're just stuck transferring it?
Yeah, that's the thing. See, once you've purchased it from anywhere, it now belongs to you, which means that if you purchased abc.com at GoDaddy, and I decided tonight that I want abc.com, and I go to InMotion Hosting and try to purchase it, it's going to show up as purchased because you purchased it. They're all interconnected. They know what each other's doing, and it's all deeply involved, and they're keeping track of it just for that very reason, so that people can't buy other people's names. So you're stuck with transferring it. And while I say it's a hassle, I don't want to scare you, because honestly, if you make a decision to go with InMotion Hosting, it really is just as simple as contacting tech support and telling them, I am a total newbie at this, and I know that I need to transfer this from GoDaddy to you, but I don't know how to do that. And they're going to say, oh, cool, here, let me help you. They're the coolest people at InMotion. And I think that you're going to get the same response from Bluehost and HostGator too, although I haven't looked at them quite so much. But I say it's a hassle, but it's totally doable. And then in the future, you'll know that if you ever want to buy another domain name, just do it where you're hosting. It'll just save you that step. I don't want to paint it as a big, huge deal. It bugs me. It's just an annoyance. But it's a doable thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
So, Tracy, I have a quick question about domain names. You had mentioned that it's really good to make sure that the domain name has keywords in it. And if you went with, you know, something like Coach, you know, Ray or something, that's probably not going to have that many keywords in it. But what would be an example of a domain name that had a good keyword?
Well, when I think about coaching, this is what we're all up against, whether you're a coach or something else. But in coaching, this is especially tricky, is that you've got to get out of your skin and get into the searcher's skin. And your potential clients, a lot of times they don't know it's a coach they want. They don't know it's a coach that they need. All they know is, for instance, their relationship's in trouble, or they just want to make it better, or they need some cheerleading for their business or something. But they don't know to necessarily put the word coaching on it. So I don't know that coaching is keyword necessarily for coaches. Do you see what I'm saying with that? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense.
So, yeah. So to get into your searcher's skin, what you have to do is you have to think like your ideal client. Who is it that you want to call you for coaching, and what is it that they would go to the computer and search for if they were trying to find services like what you offer if they don't know you exist? So, for instance, if you are, let's say that you're specialty is in divorce recovery. If you can include divorce recovery without that so narrowing you that you're narrowing it too much, if you could include divorce recovery in your domain name, that would be wonderful. But I also want to say this about that. I would hate to see anybody get caught up in the weeds of it too very much, because while your domain name is really important and having a keyword in it is really, really helpful, you also have the usage of keywords all throughout your website and the tools of social media to help drive traffic to your site. So I'd rather see you move forward as best you can to choose something if it can have a keyword in it and keep moving forward than to get too caught in it. But again, back to what you're asking, if you could include the words divorce recovery, if that's your specialty, then do that. And if it includes Tracy Ray, divorce recovery coaching, then there you go. Or divorce recovery today, or something along those lines. I'm not telling you not to use the word coaching. I'm just saying that if someone doesn't know that's what they're looking for, then that's certainly not their keyword. But their relationship in trouble is. So you just have to crawl out of your skin, out of your coaching skin, and get into your client's skin, your ideal client, in order to come up with a list of words that makes sense from that perspective to come up with the best domain name. And in some cases, you may have to add your personal name to it in order to get that domain. And I'll use this example real quickly. I had a client who has an antique store, and he wanted antiques.com. I don't have to tell you that wasn't available. Not available. It's not ever going to be available, ever, ever, ever available. So all he did was he changed it to his grandfather's nickname, called it BoboAntiques.com, and it was available. So now he's got his keyword, antiques, like he wanted, and all he did was just add Bobo to it. So now he's back in business. So you're kind of looking at that same sort of thing when you're searching for your domain name. If it's something that's like relationship coach, you're not going to get relationshipcoach.com. You're not. But if you add your name to it, maybe you will, you will. It's going to take a little playing with understanding your client really, really well to find out what they're going to look for and using those words. Now, I answered this question in the Q&A section of this, and one of my suggestions is it's a very practical. Pick 5 or 6 or 7 friends and sit down with them over coffee and ask them the question. If you needed a coach who did what I do and you didn't know anything other than that you have this issue and you need somebody to help you but you don't know me, what would you do online to find me? What would come to your mind to put into the search engine to find me? And find out what words come to their mind. And then write those down. Start making a list of the words that make sense to them. They know you and they know what you do. So ask them, how would you find me if you didn't know me? And see what they say. I hope that helps a little bit.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you.
Oh, good. In another module, I did a little bit, if you've taken another module with me, I did a little bit on finding search words, keywords using keyword trackers. And I included links to those. And I'm thinking, Amy, those would be available on the website if I'm not mistaken. So if they are accessible, you'd be able to click on those as resources for finding more keywords, and that would help you do some search on that as well.
That is
so
true.
That would
all
be.
I'm sorry to interrupt. This is Amy. All of the previous calls are archived on the website, so you can definitely look for that one there.
Great. Thank you.